So the Washington Commanders gave Terry McLaurin a new big fat contract. I want to talk about that contract in context of Deontay Johnson and his contemporaries of the 2019 wide receiver class. I'm Chris Carter here on Locked On Steelers, joined today by Tony Serino. He's back in the saddle. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video. And if you enjoyed, hit the subscribe button to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, including our bonus episodes whenever we have breaking news updates and so on and so forth. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Joined today, I said, is Tony Serino. You know him, you love him, former host and co-host of this very show. You can hear him all the time on AFC North Talk on YouTube. Go check them out by searching that on YouTube. Tony, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be back, Chris. Listen, I know I was gone for a couple weeks. I'm back. We are. I believe, just a month away from training camp starting, by the way. So, you know, start that clock, because once training camp starts, that's when I, as a fan, start to feel like, oh, right, football, it's back. It's coming back. We're here. So we're only a month away from that. Count it down. Nearly back.
I do love that. But I wanted to get to something that's kind of newsy for today, but also not, you know, not too Steelers newsy. But, it came out. Washington came to their deal, their contract extension with Terry McLaurin. It's a three-year contract extension with as much as $71 million built into it, a $28 million signing bonus. Big money for Terry McLaurin, averages to somewhere between 23.5 to 23 2/3 of $1 million per year during those extended years. And it brings back to the question, because now that's the second wide receiver signed for this class to a long-term deal. Of course, the first was AJ Brown when he was traded to the Eagles. He got a deal that's basically worth $25 million per year over 4 years of an extension. So the question now comes back to, where does Deontay Johnson fit into this, Tony? Because the Steelers still haven't made a move on him. They made sure to lock up Minkah Fitzpatrick. I imagine Chris Boswell is coming down the line. But, you know, people have been saying, should they lock him up? He was their wide receiver one last year. But it might take this kind of money, $25 million, $23 million. Maybe they can get it down to $20 million or $21 million. But, you know, that's a lot of money to invest in a wide receiver these days.
It is. It's a ton of money. I mean, we're talking about more money on an annual basis than the Steelers just gave to Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know, I mean, to put it into perspective. Right. So, yeah, it's so tough, because selfishly as a fan, I want to see them pay Deontay because I love watching him play, right? You know, you and I were there during that camp when he was a rookie. And it was so hard during that camp not to compare him to Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Because they had just...
Everyone wanted to say it.
And look, it wasn't like everyone was wrong to think it, because he did move that way. You know, he got off the line of scrimmage in a similar way. He had the similar body style. I mean, it was all like, wow, this kid could be the next Antonio Brown. Now, obviously, that comparison isn't right because the talent level isn't there. But I do think Deontay is a super talented guy. I know you want to get into the statistics here, but like, I don't even think Deontay is close to reaching his potential. You know, I said this on AFC North Talk a couple weeks ago when we talked about the wide receiver position. It's kind of a pity to me that, like, this is likely going to be now the last year of Deontay. Because you ask, like, what does this mean money-wise? This means he's likely going to go somewhere else and get paid, you know, whether it's 23, 24, whatever. It's going to, you know, 20-plus million dollars that the Steelers aren't going to want to pay to Deontay. And it's a pity because, man, you know, look, he played with Mason. He played with Duck in his rookie year. Then he played with 2 years of Ben. But this is Ben, you know, this is not peak Ben. This is kind of end of his career, Ben Roethlisberger. So it's a pity that he never got to play with, you know, a true quality quarterback to kind of bring out that potential. And he's got the dropsy stuff with, you know, the mental mistakes that he's made as well, but he's a super talented player, deserves every penny he's going to get, you know, the $20+ million he's going to get paid. I just don't think the Steelers right now are looking at the wide receiver market and saying, yeah, you know, we're super thrilled to go pay a wide receiver $20 million. Just look at what they did in the draft. They took two guys in Pickens and Austin, who a year from now will likely be, you know, kind of in Deontay Johnson's place.
No, I feel you on that. Now, I will point this out, and I've said this on several shows. The wide receiver market is changing. What we thought, what was $20 million 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when the Steelers were signing Antonio Brown to extension, is not the same anymore. Those percentage-wise still break down to be a little bit more of the same. So a lot of this is going to depend on Omar Khan. How much can he negotiate it down to? What are the ways that he can – because if Omar Khan, I think if he gets him $220 million, there's a conversation to be had about like, hey, like how much is that actually for a wide receiver one percentage wise of your salary cap, you know, if, yeah. or if you can get it to 19 million or something like that, that's a question. But to your point, why even ask the question of yourself when you can, when there's new wide receivers coming out every year that you're excited about? I mean, there's people talking about George Pickens being a phenomenal guy and being a guy that could become wide receiver one. But let's compare him to his contemporaries. When you look at all the I'm listing six wide receivers selected in the 2019 NFL draft and comparing Deontay Johnson to them. That's AJ Brown, Terry McLaurin, the two guys that have already been signed to big deals. Deebo Samuels, who's also on the last deal of his rookie contract without anything said. Deontay Johnson and Marquise Brown, the only first rounder on this list. He's actually on his fourth year, but he has his fifth year extension already signed by the Arizona Cardinals, where he was traded to. Of that list, Deontay Johnson comes in fifth in receiving yards per game with 58.8. The only person he's ahead of is Marquise Brown. Also, when it comes to touchdowns, he's fourth in receiving touchdowns, only ahead of Deebo Samuels and Terry McLaurin, which is crazy that Marquise Brown actually averages a higher amount of touchdowns, of receiving touchdowns there.
Well, they have no other receivers there in Baltimore, so he's he's a very unique player over there.
Right, but part of this also is also you skewed by the way Deontay Johnson's been used. It's been Devon Hodges, it's been Mason Rudolph, and a limited arm Ben Roethlisberger. And point being, yards per reception, Deontay Johnson's dead last of this group with 10.9, but a lot of that's because a lot of his passes were short. When you look at total receptions, he actually has the most of this group. So part of this is also his separation. He might be the best separator of this group. I think Terry McLaurin would give him a run for his money, but the other guys, they do other things really, really well. But there's value in Deontay Johnson there. And I just think that the Steelers shouldn't overlook that. They should definitely come to the table with him and see what they can get. But if Deontay Johnson reads the tea leaves and sees how the market's going, he has to know he's going to get more money than whatever the Steelers will offer him if he hits the open market.
I don't want to be one game sample size guy, but like, you know, cause you just went over all those stats and look, I love Deontay Johnson as a player, and I think that he could be a top receiver, you know, a top 20 receiver in this league, right? He's had a great, you know, he had a great season last year. Doesn't the Kansas City game worry you, though? You know, like the idea that he had such a great year.
It absolutely does. And he's done this the last 2 years now. He looked decent for the first part of the year and then just fell off at the end. That does worry me. And I'm pretty sure it worries the Steelers because they look at that and they say, yo, you need to be at your best in December and January, not your worst.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, when I think about like, do I want to pay him wide receiver one money? You know, I honestly, Chris, I think, is he a wide receiver one or is he just like the best wide receiver two in the league? You know, like at the end of the day, could he just be like a great wide receiver too? Because look, if it's third and five and the Steelers are in the playoffs, let's say the Steelers make the playoffs in 2022 and it's third and five, first third and five of the game. You want to go to Deontay, right? How many fans out there today want the Steelers to call a play for Deontay's numbers? Knowing what we know about what we just saw from him in his performance against Kansas City, when he dropped, how many passes did he drop in that game? You know, that's something that's kind of plagued him throughout his entire career. He got so much better in drops last year. It was almost one of those things where it was like, okay, well, he kind of got past that problem. That was a weird like mental hurdle he had to get past, but he did. And then it all came back up at the end of last season. And it makes me think maybe he's just wide receiver two. And at the end of the day, am I paying wide receiver two $20 million a year?
No, you're definitely not doing that. But there's other options that you could take with Deontay Johnson. We'll explore some of those options in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, because we got a lot to talk about today when it comes to receivers. We also got some interesting stuff to reflect back on about some things that Tony has said in the past. But first, we got to talk to you guys about rockauto.com. Save time and money when using rockauto.com. When you go there, you can save up to 30%, 50%, even 100% more. or you can end up spending that much more when you go to a chain store or a car dealership over rockauto.com. So go to rockauto.com. A perfect example is when you do that, you can see a Honda Odyssey fuel pump regularly would be $353 from a chain store. But at rockauto.com, it's $216. That's a lot of money you're saving yourself. And there's so many other parts that share those type of stories. Rock Auto is a family-owned business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you can need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Go to explore their easy-to-use website today to find out the solution for your auto part needs. And when you go to rockauto.com right now, you can see all the parts available for your car or trucks. So right locked on in, how, in there, how did you hear about us box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Tony Serino. We are talking more about the receiver position. Now, there's a few other options here. Let's say the Steelers just don't re-sign Deontay Johnson or don't just plan not to have him in the long run.
Sure.
Well, I guess there's three options. Excuse me. One is you franchise tag him. You say you're sticking around, buddy, just for at least another year.
Yeah. He would have to have a hell of a year to have that happen, right?
Exactly. Like that, that's going to be an expensive year for the Steelers. So maybe, but again, they got that kind of money. They don't got Ben Roethlisberger on the ticket right now.
True. It's only $18 million. It'd be $18 million for, so it's actually not like that crazy.
It's not. I agree. But looking at the rest of this, you could also say, hey, if you don't franchise tag him, let him hit the market. Let's say he scores big. Let's say he gets the $23 million. Well, then you're getting buku money. You're getting a really good draft pick or a comp pick for him.
Yep.
So that's an option there. But there's another option that I think that should be explored that was called in by James of Pennsylvania on our Locked On Steelers hotline. Here's James with his question.
Hey, Chris. This is James from Pennsylvania. My question is, how would you feel if we traded Deontay Johnson and a third or fourth round pick to the Broncos for Patrick Surtain the second, and then we used our first round pick to get Jordan Addison to pair back up with Kenny Pickett? Thank you so much for listening. I love the show. Goodbye.
Thank you, James, for your question. Now, James packed a lot into this one. It wasn't just one. He had some multiple theories.
And he thanked you for listening, by the way. I don't know if you caught that. He thanked you for listening, by the way. Like
right,
that.
Yeah,
like
he,
that.
He did thank little, us for listening. Yeah,
but yeah, he listened, role reverse.
Listened,
I like that.
He listened to his question. I think that's fair of James.
No, I like
it. But, okay, first part of James's question. If you could magically pull off Patrick Surtain for Deontay Johnson in a middle round pick, I am running to the Broncos, and I will carry Patrick Surtain all the way from Denver, Colorado to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on my shoulder.
I will carry Omar Khan directly into Canton, Ohio to put him in the Hall of Fame for the greatest general manager ever. I'm sorry, Kevin Colbert, but you've been unseated in one offseason.
But point being, James, you're not wrong for thinking about a trade. Patrick Surtain, though, the Broncos would never go for that. That guy is a future top five corner in the league. Yeah. Maybe already getting to that point.
He's very good.
He's extremely good at what he does. He's homegrown for them. They drafted him in the top 10 for a reason. You'd have to give them a first-round pick, Deontay Johnson, and then maybe another first-round pick, and then they might talk to you. It's like they would string you out for that one. But trading Deontay Johnson may be something that you could possibly do there if someone really wants a talented wide receiver. Most likely, though, you'd want to trade them to an NFC team. So you want to get him away from you because you don't want him having to be a problem that you got to face up against in the AFC. Now, I think that's certainly a possibility, and maybe you can recoup something for him. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's an offensive tackle that you feel is going to be really good. Maybe there's a center. Maybe there's a cornerback. Maybe there's another player out there that you feel in another position that you're not strong enough right now that you can get him for. But my pushback, Tony, on the idea of trading Deontay Johnson before we get to Jordan Addison and next year's draft plans, my pushback on this is right now you're very excited about the weapons the Steelers have at wide receiver. just roll with it for a year. If he does, if he hits free agency next year, great. Then go get your money, dude. We'll get a comp pick for you. That's what the Steelers got to be thinking there. But if I'm them, I'm saying I got to roll with this because Chase Claypool had a meh second year. George Pickens is a rookie. Calvin Austin is a rookie. Everyone else is unproven. Deontay Johnson is the one guy who's been a top 10 receiver in yards in his career that's currently on this roster. I think you got to lean on that at least for your first year, especially while you're adapting new quarterbacks.
I would make the argument. Here's because I was thinking about that throughout the entire break here. Okay, I would trade him for a third round pick in the middle of the season.
For a third round pick.
Yeah. Because here's why. Obviously, if the season goes well, right? If this team is competing, let's say that we're, I don't know when the trade deadline ended anymore. I think they moved it back. But it used to be like week six, but I think it's further back now.
It was 8, and I think it's 9 now because of the 17 game season, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, let's say we get to like week 7, week 8, and the Steelers are, you know, it's bad news. I mean, it's 1-6, it's 2-5 or something, right? So it didn't work out. Now, if you keep him, right, the minimum you want to give up for Deontay is a third round pick because likely that's what you're going to get back in a comp pick, right? If he goes to the open market, he makes his $25 million. That should ideally put him in that range of a third round comp pick. That's the most you can get in a compensatory pick. But like we saw with the Steelers with Bud Dupree, you know, what happened with Bud is the Steelers only got a fourth round pick for that. And the reason for that is that his playing time slipped because of the ACL and it slid from a third round pick to a fourth round pick.
Right.
So if you could kind of lock in and guarantee that third round pick from Deontay in the middle of the next season,
I feel you.
I might actually do that. You know, you talk about for a player. Yeah. I mean, like if the Steelers had like a devastating injury somewhere that they needed to kind of fill a roster spot somewhere, maybe you could get rid of Deontay that way. Cause you're like, hey, you know, we're going to be getting rid of this kid at the end of next season anyway. So might as well flip him for some assets and not an asset 2 years from now, but an asset that can help us right now. But it's hard, yeah, because at the end of the day, Deontay is wide receiver one on this team. And so as long as this team is competing, you can't trade him away because what it does to the offense is, you know, it kind of blows up the entire passing game where all of a sudden Claypool is your number one. You know, I'm not happy about that.
Didn't you know he's top three, man?
The top three thing. I don't like Chase Claypool at all. People know this about me, but I don't mind him saying that.
I don't mind at all. And also, again, when you listen to the whole conversation, he didn't say, oh, I am top three right now. He was saying, my goal is to be top three. I have to think that I am top three. He was working his way there. I brought on this very show a time when I interviewed him on a one-on-one, and he said, my goal is to be top three. And I said, of the league? And he said, yes. So he knows that he's not top three right now because he hasn't put in the numbers, but his goal is to get there. But again, continue.
Well, I just hope he plays that way next year or even close to there.
If he's top 15, I think everyone would love him.
I mean, if he's top 50, I'd love him. the Deontay trade, yeah, like I said, moral of the story here, I would trade him for a third-round pick midseason, but that's got to be in a worst-case scenario. The Steelers are very, very bad and looking to offload assets early. Otherwise, you keep him around because you're going to get the comp pick for him anyway.
That's where I just feel it, is that if you get it – and here's my other thing is if you're trading Deontay Johnson, it's most likely to a team that's winning. So if they're winning, it's going to be a late third-round pick too.
Yeah.
So that's earlier, and in that way, it's still a comp pick.
Yeah. I mean, slightly earlier than the comp pick, hopefully. But yeah. What about, I don't want to bring this up, but I'm going to. The Steelers need a backup running back badly. Like at the end of the day, you know, if Najee gets hurt, let's say something happens to Najee.
If Najee's hurt, this offense is in a lot of pain.
Who wants to watch Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland split carries for a season? I'm going to have to find a Netflix show on Sundays or something. So, you know, you don't want to trade a wide receiver for a running back. So it's very silly to bring this up, but that's another thing that could happen, right? Like early in the season or training camp or something, if Najee goes down, like this team has to get a running back. They have to get a running back. I wouldn't trade Deontay to do it, but maybe. But I mean, you know, because it's so bad. If Najee goes down, everything about this team just craters.
He said, but maybe. I want to address the second half of James's question before we keep moving on, because there's some other things we want to talk about. But he mentioned using a first round pick to get Jordan Addison. Now, for those of the uninitiated, Jordan Addison had a spectacular year this past season in college football with the University of Pittsburgh with Kenny Pickett. In fact, he won the Biletnikoff Award for the best receiver in college football. Highlight plays on highlight plays. If you just go like pause this video, go on YouTube and look up Jordan Addison highlights, you're going to be like, oh, that's the guy. But he's also transferred to USC. We'll see how that goes this year. And also, if you pay attention to how wide receivers work in college football, guys who you think are stars 1 year are not always stars the next. Injuries happen. Change if you got a change in coaches, which now he has a change in coach and in quarterback and in program, it's not guaranteed that guys last there. But I'll tell you this much. If Jordan Addison is available in the first round next year and the Steelers don't see like a great offensive lineman or a great defensive lineman or another position of need, because you just drafted George Pickens and Chase Claypool will be in his fourth year. So I think that there's something there, and you could probably get some talented receivers in the later rounds. I'd like Jordan Addison as a wide receiver in the NFL. I think he's a heck of a playmaker. I covered him for the last 2 years at Pitt football. The guy's a phenomenal playmaker. He pushes himself every day to get better. In the NFL, I think he would have a pretty good year. And to reunite him with Kenny Pickett would be a type of moment, even more so than when people every year were trying to say, hey, Mason Rudolph, weren't you best friends with James Washington?
Yeah. No, it's funny because it's a running gag on AFC North Talk how, you know, the Steelers had tried the whole wide receiver quarterback college combo in the NFL, and that did not work. But the Bengals tried it, and it's
working pretty well.
It works pretty good for them. Yeah. So, you know,
well, you know, a first overall pick, a fifth overall pick versus a third and a second rounder.
It's a little different. Yeah. So yeah, they have the Steelers have the cable version of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Look, you know, drafting a receiver in the first round is unlike the Steelers. They haven't done it, I believe, since Santonio Holmes. So it's been a while, but you know, in a world where if we're saying there are going to be the teams that don't pay receivers or just keep going to the draft to get them. Okay. Well, if you're going to be the team that doesn't pay them, well, you got to draft them high. And look, I know they got Pickens in the second round last year, but that was a player like Pickens should have been a first round pick if not for the injury that he had. So yeah, I mean, if you want a player like Jordan Addison, you're gonna have to get him in the first round. The Steelers are gonna have to start taking receivers in the first round. And really, you know, you talked about it, right? Offensive line's a need next year for sure. Corner's probably a need next year. But other than defensive that, I can't think. Yeah. And I guess they're going to go back to the well on defensive line. Yeah. So, I mean, there's not like a bunch of huge needs out there. There's like three or four, same as every year.
So that's where I'm just at it there. But Jordan Addison, if he plays another great season and he's sitting in the first round, I do think that would be an attractive pick for the Steelers to choose. But we got to switch it up. We got to go to a different topic with a different question from a caller. Did your call make the list? Be sure to check out in the third segment here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about betonline.net, which is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including the Major League Baseball playoff season. Tony, this is playoff season. I said Major League Baseball season, period. But Tony, it's the dead year. You know, baseball's fun, but there's nothing like when you have like three or four sports to choose from, and college sports. Right now, you got college baseball and softball, and you got Major League Baseball. There, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. The NBA playoffs are over. It's all kind of meh. But one way to help you get through baseball is when you put some money down on it. So
no doubt.
There's another way. So go to Bet Online and figure out the best ways to survive baseball season by learning the best ways to bet on baseball season right there on betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at Bet Online, where the game starts. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. He's Tony Serino. Tony, we got a different question. We've been talking a lot about receivers and paying, blah, blah, blah. Let's switch it up. Let's go to defense. We go to defense with this question from Bruce Ross of Mississippi. Here's Bruce.
Hey, what's up, Chris? This is Bruce Ross calling in from Cleveland, Mississippi. Just want to say real quick, man, you're going to be one of the great ones. I see it in your future already. But I want to ask about the cornerback situation. I know everyone's study questioning who's going to be that number one guy in the future, or is he already on the team? I just wanted to ask the question, have we given up on James Pierre? Last year he made a lot of noise in camp. We know he didn't pan out to be what we wanted him to be during the year. But it was some upside to him. So if Pierre comes out and do the same great things he did last year in camp, can we still see him as a number one guy in the future, or take over that number one guy this year maybe? I don't know. But that's my question. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Bruce, for your question. And remember, if you want to call into the Locked On Steelers podcast, you can do so at any time by calling 412-223-6644. Leave your name, where you're from, and keep your question to under a minute. That helps us on the show production side. Okay, so Tony,
yeah,
I feel like this calls you. This is all about you, babe. If y'all are new to the show, Tony Cirino, who's been on this show as a guest or a host mm-hmm. for several years now, mm-hmm. all last season was leading the James Pierre hype train. Mm-hmm. Toot, he was all about it. And then during the season, the hype train fell off a cliff.
But it had its moments. I mean, did he not have a game winning interception
against
the Denver Broncos? Yeah.
That is very
true.
That happened. So, not to pick at Bruce, because Bruce is a longtime listener and always appreciates
Bruce from Cleveland, Bruce being on the call. Mississippi. I love he added that. You got to
right, right. He's like, I ain't from that Cleveland.
Not that Cleveland.
No. But Bruce's CB1 question I do think is interesting, and this is why I wanted to ponder it with you because I do think that James Pierre, he's still on the roster, and the Steelers, I think, still respect him. But he was an experiment last year because they couldn't afford to go out and get more cornerbacks the way they wanted to early in the season. So they just kind of threw him out there, see how he did. He's scrappy. He's tough, but he's very limited. And the Steelers found that out, and that's why they went and got Akella Witherspoon and Levi Wallace, and he's going to be the fourth option. Now, I do see a potential for James Pierre to continue being a special teams ace, which he is.
Yep.
And to, over time, maybe earn his way into CB2 or CB3 as a veteran that kind of sticks around the team for cheap deals. But he's just not a CB1. And maybe CB1 is on this team, as Bruce alluded. Is CB1 already on this team, Tony Cirino?
I love how you put it there. You said, you know, we went from James Pierre hype train to James Pierre. He's still on the roster. That's kind of where we are. If you're asking, is James Pierre going to be CB1 in the future? I think that's your answer right there. No, look, to me, both guys, both Witherspoon or Sutton, I think could be CB1. I think Wallace, from an athletic standpoint, is never going to be like a true CB1.
Right.
Like a shutdown, you know, his side of the field, you're just not going to go there. I think because of the athleticism concerns. But I still – look, Cam Sutton was good last year.
He was good.
Yeah, he was not a player who was, you know, who disappointed in his first year as a full-time starter by any stretch. And Witherspoon had a stretch where, statistically speaking, like if you look at the numbers of right. him covering guys, he put up CB1 type numbers. Now, you know, as we learned with James Pierre, let's not read too much into small sample sizes. Yes, as it turns out, reading too much into the 11 snaps James Pierre had
again. If y'all remember Tony, he was going over game log after game log of James Pierre. He's like, look at this. Well, look at this passer rating that he allowed.
That was exact, though. It was literally two game logs. So it was game log after game log. That was the two game logs that he played in. No, but I'm not going to give up hope yet on either Witherspoon or Sutton as being, and I don't know if we're ever going to call them true CB1s. I do think, though, that this cornerback room overall is underrated. Like, I think that this cornerback room, while it doesn't have a shutdown corner, you know, look at what the Bengals did last year, especially in that playoff run with mm-hmm. the cornerbacks that they had. You know, who is their CB1? Who is their shutdown guy? Awuzie? Was Awuzie like a CB1 type last year? Mm-hmm. Not really, but he was good enough, right? You had him good enough. And then Eli Apple, who, you know, is Eli Apple, but he was good enough. And then obviously Mike Hilton, who was a fantastic player, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. he probably was their CB1 even as a slot.
Even in the slot.
Yeah. But, you know, they had good safety play with Jesse Bates. I mean, I think the Steelers, from a secondary perspective, I could, you know, the Steelers kind of, if I'm saying, like, you know, what they could be, I think they could be the Bengals from last year. I don't think there's any, you couldn't rule that out, where it's just like they're just good enough at every spot where you can't really pick on a certain guy on a play-to-play basis. It's, you don't have to be a CB1. You don't have to have a CB1 if you have just a well-rounded group.
No, I agree. And that's where I've said before about this situation is maybe there's not a pure CB1. Maybe there's not a Jalen Ramsey type that right. just stands out and says, yeah, that's the guy. He leads the room. Or even a Joe Hayden type when he was in his prime. Like, you know, maybe that guy's not on the roster. But this is not Artie Burns with Cody Sensabaugh. This is not Antoine Blake, you know, being a starter out there. This is not a situation where the Steelers are scraping the bottom of the barrel to find their starters. All of these guys have starting experience in the NFL, considerable. So they've been in the NFL for 5 or 6 years. Even even some of their backup guys, Arthur Marlette, has been in the NFL for around that time. They have options at cornerback. And I think having those options allows for good competition in camp and then also allows for a good rotation. And when you have a good rotation of guys and trying to get different matchups with them, there's not really a place to overly exploit to say, oh, we're definitely just picking on this one guy the entire time. It may mean with certain matchups, like when you face Ja'Marr Chase, that you might have some struggles with each and every one whoever tries to cover him, but you can game plan around that. Add safety help over there, disguise who's actually covering him, you know, try to get to the quarterback a little bit quicker. But you know, when it comes to the, I think how this cornerback room works, everybody's kind of in the same position where, like, hey, you flash the potential. Now you got to just prove that you can be the guy. And if you prove to be the guy, great. If not, just hang on, do your job as best you can, and the rest of the defense will kind of make it. Because, again, this defense is going to be built on Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and maybe a Devin Bush, Miles Jack, or someone else stepping up in that way.
Yeah, it's going to be about getting to, you know, their pass protection is going to be about getting to the pass rusher, or getting to the passer as soon as possible. You know, the one, I guess, I'm actually more worried, you know, if I think about this secondary room, you know, we talk about CB1, you're talking about an outside corner. I mean, I still think that slot corner is probably the bigger concern overall within the group. It was a concern last year. I know they brought Mollett back, and Mollett was fine last year. But, you know, I think the player that they're missing the most, you know, or that they're probably going to likely still miss the most is Mike Hilton. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, having a Mike Hilton with this group, I don't think we would worry as much about this group if it were starting with, let's say, Witherspoon and Sutton, if they still had Mike Wallace in the slot.
Mike Wallace, the fastest man alive.
Sorry, Mike Hilton in the slot. Mike Wallace, very fast. He would be the fastest slot guy in the league. I think that for me is like the biggest concern I have about this group overall, right? You know, we know Cam Sutton can play that role really well, but he's better off as an outside guy. So, I guess for me, if I'm thinking about the secondary group, I'm not thinking about CB1. I'm thinking about who's the slot.
I feel you on that, and that's a good question. Now, I've written about this on SteelersNow.com at the end of minicamp, talking about how Arthur Marlette and Trey Norwood are in a battle for that position right now, because Trey Norwood playing in the slot.
Oh, of course, yeah.
He made some mistakes, but he also made some good plays in the slot. He has good instincts.
Tell you what, in that Chiefs game, man, look, and he got picked on a little bit as that game went on, but he's
a rookie, a seventh-round rookie.
Yes, exactly. A seventh-round rookie going up against, you know, one of the greatest offenses of all time, certainly one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time in Patrick Mahomes. Right. So, and look, he got picked on as that game went on, but he held his own for at least that first half, and that, you know, that's awesome. So I completely whiffed on him. It's a great point. I hope he wins that job, because it does feel like from even the coaches said last year about how much they loved him and you know, kind of his intelligence when it came to football, to see him do it on the field, you know, hopefully he can make a big leap year over year. And that would kind of ease the concerns at that slot corner position.
And the other thing that we're forgetting here is that what if the top three cornerbacks we keep talking about are the three guys? Cam Sutton has played in the slot. Say it's Witherspoon, Wallace on the outside, and Sutton in the slot. Well, there's your three starting corners. And you live with that crew. And again, you could work in Mollett, you could work in Norwood, you could disguise when Sutton's actually in the slot or if he's just an extra defensive back. I think there's a lot of configurations that Terrell Austin as defensive coordinator now is going to work for the group that he was position coach of last year with the defensive backs. There's going to be a lot of versatility there. But I do think this slot is going to be interesting to see how they use it and how they deploy it this year. But I think who's CB1 I think at the end of the year, we might say Witherspoon. We might say any of those top three guys. But it's going to depend to me about, in big-time situations, who's the guy that lines up with the top receiver? Who's the guy that is like, hey, we're putting you with Ja'Marr Chase. We're putting you with, you know, whoever. We're putting you with Amari Cooper if it's the Browns. You know, we're putting you with Stephon Diggs if they're playing the Bills. You know, those type of questions. I think those are going to be vital to what the Steelers need to figure out this year. But hey, again, if they're all playing solid, that could be your ticket to everyone kind of holding down the fort and the defense being propped up by them all kind of being reliable.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those positions right now where, as you know, if everyone's above the line, as Tomlin would say, then this defense will be fine. It's when you start to have a player who he's getting picked on, you know, every play, and they're becoming a liability. That's when this group can become a concern overall. But right now, I think the depth at this position is good, and it'll certainly be good enough for what this defense aspires to be.
Absolutely. Tony, we're out of time here, but we thank you so much for joining us here in the Locked On Steelers podcast and always bringing the fun and the enjoyment to the show. It's always great to keep things up. And so just to be clear, are you still leading a James Pierre hype train? I know that you're big on the Trubisky train right now, mm-hmm. but do you have time to conduct both?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. Look, I'll leave the door open for the James Pierre hype train. I do feel like much like
leave the door open, okay, Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I'll leave the door open. Yeah, of course. You know, much like with Duck, right? You know, it was a fun ride. Then he threw the three interceptions against Buffalo and four interceptions against Buffalo, I should say, and then that was that. So you know, it was a fun ride with James. Then he gave up the touchdowns against Cincinnati, and that was that. And we're on. We're on to Mitch Trubisky, as Bill Belichick would say.
We're on to Mitch Trubisky. There he is. Tony Cirino, ladies and gentlemen, at Steeler Country on YouTube. Check him out. Check out the YouTube show AFC North Talk. He battles it out every week, though. I think you guys are on like a July break, right?
Well, yeah, we're off for July. We just did our rankings for the entire offense, where, of course, the Steelers didn't rank super high in any of those positions, but except wide receiver, actually. The Steelers were number two in wide receiver, soundly wide two, actually. And we're going to move on to defense now. So we'll come back at the beginning of August, and we're going to be talking defense, where the Steelers will be ranking quite high in quite a few positions, starting with edge rusher. Look for that beginning of August.
Dude, check out AFC North Talk. He battles with a Ravens fan, a Bengals fan, and a Browns fan on every single awesome. Episode. They're live episodes. You get to chat with them. It's a fun show. I sometimes chime in with some comments to just stoke the fires and see what happens, because Tony does a good job shutting people down. Thanks again, Tony. I'm Chris Carter, host of the Locked On Steelers podcast. Remember, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. Like this video on YouTube if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. You can also, if you want to help out this podcast even further, go on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars with a positive comment. When you do both at the same time, it really helps us out, and you'll get a special shout out at the end of the show. We did one last week, one this week. If you want to be in that, you get on that list. Just like this person, we have this is a tough name to say. Kawagzadelic. I think actually it says Kyle at the over there. So I just needed to look a little further, Tony. But this 5-star, he says, "Hey, Chris, love the show. Always great information. I love the perspectives brought to light. Cannot wait to see the content around the corner when the season starts." Kyle, thank you so much for your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We have another one that we'll be reading tomorrow when it comes to the show. So again, let's get those reviews in. Really helps us out. Lets people know what we're doing here on the show. We'll be back tomorrow with Josh Taylor. He's back on the show. We got a lot of questions to him. That's going to be fun about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Stay tuned. We'll be sticking with you right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast.